It's episode two, Let's Stick Together, season four, brought to you by Y1 Hockey. Now, again, we haven't plugged anything Y1. Does anyone want to plug anything Y1?
Yeah, I've been using the new stick. I've been using a new stick. I'm changing sticks. I think that's quite exciting for me.
What stick are you using, Brent?
I think I'm going to go to the ADB 90.
ADB? That's what I have, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm leaving the MB. I think I'm gone. I think I'm out.
Yeah.
For any of you badges out there wanting to know what that means, it is the Advanced Dribble Bow, 90% carbon.
But
and
Brendan,
you can get that on y1hockey.com.
I need all the help I can get to be able to dribble.
Brendan, I do want to disappoint you already. If you think getting the ADB will change your selection, I can speak out of experience. It will not. Even ADB 90 or X or whatever it's called, players still don't make the selection. So
every little helps, though, you, and that's what we're going for.
Okay.
They also brought out an Alex Hendricks stick, you know. So if you want to get one of them and be good at drag flicking, it'll also go on to Y1 Hockey and check it out.
Just a question, Phil. Does it hurt that they've not brought out a PR15? They've only brought out an AH16 stick? Just out of interest.
I mean, it hurts so much. But
you know what does hurt me, to be honest? Like genuinely hurts me.
Go on then.
Is I love Y1. I really do. But why the fuck does Alexander Stadler get his own stick?
He won a World Cup, mate.
Yeah, fair enough. But he's
but he got it before.
Granted, it wasn't he wasn't the reason they won it, but it still won it.
Yeah, they changed it now to the Danneberg 14 or to whatever number he was.
Oh, that's low. That's low, Philip.
No, that hurt also. That definitely hurt way more. If you're Alex Hendricks and you scored and been top scorer for all of the best tournaments, I think you're fair enough. But if you're Alex Stadler, you know, why won't sort it out? We want the BC18
or
the Ute de Mol 23.
Or have they nailed it and jumped on the back of Stadler winning something and bosh, there it is.
No, because in their defense, they already put it up before Germany won the World Cup. But I just want to say, all we three, like Chris, I know you're listening. And Tom, I know you're listening. All we do is give. We're plugging them every week. We're like, we're out there for them. We're like saying why one is the best. And you don't even like, I'm expecting there to be like at least three signature sticks.
Do you know do you know what's really
funny? Why don't we just go for a stick for all three of us? Why don't we get an LST stick?
Wow.
Whoa, that's nice.
It's a suggestion. I'm just checking it out there.
Do you know what someone joked with me was that like, I can't remember who it was, but they were obviously insulting me. But they were saying, you're not quite at that level where you can have your own stick, but maybe you could have your own like headband, or maybe you could have your own, I don't know, pair of shin pads. So you could get...
Seems fair.
Could get the Youth de Mol shin pads, carbon shin pads, or the, I don't know, the Brendan Creed gum shield, and then the proper 15 headband.
But you know what? You know what? Everybody who's listening, let us know. What do you think? Should we get our own stick? Would you buy a Phil Roper headband or a Brendan Creed gum shield?
Can we email us
at letstick23@brendan.com.
Can we stop there? Hold on. So Phil's gone, yeah, the headband. Yeah, that's because you wear the headband, Phil. No, not at any point has anyone gone, oh, I want... Do you know what I mean? No one's associated a gum shield with me or shin pads with you. That's not how it works, Phil.
Well,
I went with
the irony that you put your gum shield in your sock, or you store it in a sweatband.
No, you got that wrong. There we go.
You runs one really badly, and so maybe he wears some shin pads.
Oh, so you're going for ironically, we should have two things.
Yeah, and you look fucking shit with a headband. You look like a fucking bitch with a headband, so let's do a headband for Phil.
Or is it ironic the fact that you have to wear a headband or else you're not very good?
Exactly.
Phil, are you at any point like bringing some like structure into this one? Because it's...
Look, this has been a great start. We've been needing to plug Y1, and I think we have plugged them incredibly well there. Thank you to anyone who listened back from last week from episode one. We did get some, you know, people messaged in saying, you know, well done, you're back, congratulations. Some people even said nice things. Max Caldas reacted to us on Instagram, which is terrifying that you know, there's head coaches of international hockey out there listening to our podcast. So we can't say anything bad about Spain or about him. So we'll note that one down. The Blumendal head coach messaged Dupe. What did he say?
He said that he liked the episode. He said he was laughing and he had tears of I don't know how he said things, but he was crying laughing. But he said he actually had a pretty good analysis of our podcast. He said one is better than the other. Sometimes it's only bullshit. Then you lose me. But the combination of like serious stuff and bullshit is actually pretty good.
So maybe we got to start writing these reviews down. I might start like loads of burner accounts and put them on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and stuff. But anyway, thank you to anyone who's listening in and is still with us at the start of this shit show of an episode two. Me and Brendan started our league with the most minimal preseason known to man. We both did one half frozen pitch session. Then we played our first league game this weekend. Brendan, how did you get on?
Lost 2-1 to Aldridgeans, which was rather frustrating, but they deserved it. It's tough to say that, but yeah, they probably deserved it. Bit of a reality check for us, but I think that's a good thing given where the league is, where we are in the league and where the league is now. So not necessarily a bad thing, but not a most ideal start back.
And for anyone who doesn't know, now in our new fancy league system, we've now split, and you probably don't know this and you're probably not listening anyway, we've now split into our top six and bottom six for the next phase of our league. So Holcomb, we played Wimbledon and beat them 3-2. The umpires lost all control of the game, forgot the rules at times. The Wimbledon coach, Carl Stagno, who's a great guy, completely forgot how to sub a keeper and then subsequently had to get sent off. What the cap? Yes, Brendan, sorry.
Sorry, just want to stop you there, Phil, because you were actually given a really good analysis of it whilst you was cleaning his microphone without paying any attention whatsoever. So, unfortunately, you was doing this. Whilst you were explaining that, then.
Jack can definitely clip that. Anyway, Brendan lost 2-1. Was a little bit of a bitch, as he normally is in commentary to me and Amesy after the game. And the mighty Holcomb won 3-2, which takes, you know, it makes the league top six quite exciting at the moment because we're...
It does.
There's only 2 points between second and fifth. And Holcomb, my Holcomb, are playing Brendan Surbiton on the weekend.
Your Holcomb, Phil. Oh, of course. Okay.
Well, it's who I play for now.
It's Phil's Holcomb and you're a part of Surbiton.
Yeah, that's the right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's definitely the right.
That's how it is.
This does bring on to. So we got in Brendan, who occasionally does some stuff for the podcast. You know, asked for people's opinions and maybe what we wanted to talk about, and what you guys wanted us to talk about. And a lot of you got in touch, so thank you for that. But this kind of leads into one of the things that a lot of people wrote in to say, which was why has English hockey started up so quickly, especially when there's so many frozen pitches after Christmas. So Nick Dick and Callum 12 both wrote in about this, so thanks. You calm yourself.
Nick Dick, is that serious or is it like a fun handle?
I don't know him well enough to comment on that.
Nick Dick. what a legend already.
Anyway, let's carry on.
So the point was that, like, we obviously have had a crazy limited preseason because of indoor, but also because, you know, we've been away and then the temperature in England at the moment has been pretty low. It's like, why do we do it? Why does our outdoor season have to start so soon after Christmas? Basically, all of the other European, nations, such as like Holland, I guess your season probably doesn't start you until like mid-March.
Yeah, well, Phil, thanks for asking. Your weekend, apparently both you and Brendan's weekend was great with a match. I also played a match. So again, thanks for asking. Yeah, but we start the second week or the first week of March.
Yeah, I don't care. I didn't ask that.
No, I don't care about your stupid competition because no one watches it, but I also have to listen to it.
Let's calm it down a bit. Surely the international calendar has something to do with it, because obviously now the calendar's all year round, and with Pro League you've got to try and fit in blocks in places. Surely that means that the time that you want to play the league has been cut. So obviously we lose April
Yeah.
for Pro League. We lose 20 days in April for Pro League, which obviously then blocks quite a bit. But also then you look at like Ute's league, like Ute plays double headers on Fridays and Sundays, and they play sometimes Thursday night. Like there's ways around it, but no one in the UK wants to change the way the league structure's always been. So then unfortunately tradition wins out, which then means that the season's got to be played in pretty horrible conditions because people don't want to flex.
But this is the thing, is that I can't understand in my head. I understand about the international calendar, and we've had a crazy amount of work done to try and make sure that international players in England are playing
Available for
every
three,
league
yeah.
game. But why does not everyone in England, maybe you can answer us if you're listening and you feel passionately about this, do people not want like a proper indoor season? And do you not want to play when the weather's better, you've had more of a break, and then potentially actually more people are going to come and watch? It's going to be more social because the weather's nicer. So, for example, starting as most of the other nations do around March, you know, you're not, therefore you get a proper pre-season, which then enhances your competition and your team and the level of, you know, connectedness you have with your team. And also then you start playing when the weather's better, there's more people interested in the league, and then you finish when the weather's, you know, really nice, and you're, you know, the competition can properly like have a pinnacle where you have like a finals weekend in May, and you know, you advertise it to shit and you get a lot of people interested in it. By starting in February and finishing in March, it's already happened. People just don't seem that interested, and surely we need to try and change that.
But
But
do you
surely,
guys already finish in March, your whole competition, playoffs and everything?
the 2nd of April. So sorry.
I
Pretty
don't know.
much.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, they've done it so they can, so we can fit in Pro League
No, but
and
it's not, Bren,
yeah.
because they've done it forever. They've
But
done this
why?
forever.
No, but as in this one has started, this one has because of
Yeah, but
it doesn't normally finish this early. It normally finishes
yeah.
May
No, it doesn't, Bren. What
or
world are you?
late April
No.
rather than 2nd of April.
No.
Really?
Wrong. Yeah.
Oh,
But
Christ. It's been a while since I've played in the league.
what happens then from like April till like September?
Well, people just put their hockey sticks away and you start pre-season again in August. But
Play
also,
cricket.
well, yeah, but that used to be a thing. I think traditionally it was so you could play hockey in the winter and cricket in the summer, but that's just not a thing anymore. Like, obviously, some people do play both, but it's nowhere near the majority. Also,
Yeah.
our season started for some reason on the 25th of September. Now, I don't know why that has to be, because again, if it started, say, the first week of September, then you could do a couple of double headers. You could be finished by mid November when the weather's getting really bad. People who are asking, which we're going to already get onto, can have like a proper indoor season, and then you can be back in, you know, mid-Feb, March for proper outdoor.
When did
In Holland, it's structured the way that we always start the 1st of September with the first half of the competition and always ends around second week of November, first or second week of November. So I have a couple double headers in there. And we start always the first week of March. So it's always first week of March and first week of September when the competition starts. And then the playoffs are always around May. I think like first week of May or something like that. So it's always every playoff series is always with like nice weather, and every game should be able like the only times when we play like a frozen field or when it's like debatable is like when the competition lasts a bit longer, like till end of November or like mid-November. So we don't normally you shouldn't really have a problem of not really playing. The only thing I do think is a discussion in Holland now where whereas it's different as in England, I think with you guys, they're trying to like make a full on indoor competition, right? That's also a discussion. Why not have a full indoor competition? In Holland, they're actually debating whether there should be an indoor competition anymore. I think it's a discussion now. They actually want this in Holland. You have like the big, I don't know how you say it, like the blow up indoor halls. I don't know if you've seen them. It's like a It's just Bubbles, on the regular pitch. They put like a big, Hasse Tilburg also has it where many plays. And they say, yeah, it's not this time anymore because it takes a lot of energy. It's not really sustainable. Why not with all the players who don't play outdoor or like who are not international players have like a separate competition to which like young guys can play. But then again, you have to have the luxury of not having frozen fields every other week, which is normally the case in December and January.
Yeah, I'm sure there is reasons why people, you know, do want to start hockey early or, you know, make it shorter. I can't see it from my point of view why you wouldn't want to start slightly later and like the original and start earlier in September and then start later in like February. It just, to me, I understand the issues with international calendar, but that's for the majority. I'm talking for the majority of people, for the how many thousands of people who just play on a weekend, who rock up to play club hockey.
When is your Pro League starting? Like, you already have Pro League in April or something, or when? But why not, like, because it's a bit, like, I know the international calendar for Holland is always, like, keeping in mind the hoofdklasse a little bit.
Yeah.
So we never, I've never played, we had one Pro League game, but that's like in the middle of, November or something. That we have a Pro League game, but like not like the four games within 5 days kind of deal. Because where are you guys heading?
We've got New Zealand. We've had two long hauls. So we had obviously Argentina and then we've got New Zealand. So we have two long haul trips this year, which I think is the bit that's complicated it a bit. But also, like, as Rope said, if our league always finishes in April anyway, this hasn't really changed our calendar much by the sounds of it.
So normally our trips always go in like when there's no hoofdklasse. So if we had to go to New Zealand or Australia or we had to go to Argentina, it's always in like December or maybe January. Yeah. That's like when our Pro League trips are. So like we had now when we went to Argentina, even though it was World Cup, it was in like December or something. And I've never had to experience that we had to go to New Zealand in, I don't know when, but like I think that's also a bit had to do with your federation, how much they like plug the league. For everybody knows the Hoofdklasse is a really important league and everybody wants to play. And they know the league in Holland has a lot of not power, but they pay our salaries, so they have something to say. So I don't think.
Well, this is the battle, I think, is that a lot of people in England are saying they want to push the outdoor league and make it better and make it more professional. But then a lot of the actions that are happening are doing the exact opposite of that. Because in what world would you say, Youp, for us to start our league last weekend when we'd only had one session together? It's just ridiculous.
And it's also dangerous, to be honest. Like, people, if you have to play a game full on after one session on a pitch that's not completely ready to play, it's you're asking for injuries. Look at Brendan. It's a miracle he's still not injured, right?
Brendan, are you injured?
Not at the moment. I'm going to change it a little bit. My intrigue is like, obviously, like, so the Dutch women have just come away from winning the World Cup. Granted, Germany weren't there, but it's still an amazing like thing, and still Holland are discussing whether or not indoors worth it. We're constantly, clubs are trying to, or players are constantly talking about wanting to have more of an indoor scene in the UK, but we don't have an international team. So it kind of like, it's a bit confusing as to like what the aim of the indoor is. Like, is the aim of the indoor to like create more opportunity to make money? Is it there because the competition's that fierce? Like, there's so many different things that I just kind of get a bit confused about, like what we're trying to achieve with indoor, like similar to, do we get rid of it like completely and just say outdoor season's longer and this, that, and the other?
We've had a lot of like the people that are writing in, and to be honest with you, this year it seems like there's been actually a lot of passion from English players to play indoor, and teams that have really enjoyed playing indoor, but just saying, a lot of people I've spoke to, it's not an opinion that I completely share, but they've said they really enjoyed the indoor season. It's too short. We always finish with the Super Sixes, Youp, which is in Wembley, I think, Bren. Is that right?
No, Phil, it's not in Wembley.
No, it's somewhere cool.
Copper Box, mate.
That's it, Copper Box. They do the Super Sixes finals I'm not hugely into indoor. I'm just putting across an opinion from a lot of other people saying they want to see more passion in it. And therefore, also on top of Brendan's point, is there is some conflict here, is because England Hockey have took a lot of, you know, they've said they're not really funding the indoor. So what needs to change? I don't really know, to be honest.
I don't necessarily think they've said that. I think they've shown that rather than necessarily said it. But then, like, why do we only have a first team competition for indoor? We have like an under 16, 18 clubs. Obviously, the schools have their stuff. But you have club 16, 18s, and then first team, and that's it. I don't really understand. Like, if we're surely, if you want to make indoor a proper thing, then you have to make it accessible to more people. But then again, it requires clubs to have their own halls or facilities close by that they can use. But then it just becomes a, it just becomes so much more complicated, or becomes people have to spend more money. And again, like, that's what I mean, but I don't really understand it, because we're talking about wanting a longer indoor season, but we're talking from a first team perspective.
Youp, do you like indoor?
I actually played a couple games in the indoor national team, but that was like 8 years ago in Holland. It's kind of a, it's like sacred. It's a really big thing. Like a lot of really good players played indoor. Pitches are frozen, and it's more about getting people to keep playing. So the difference between international players and like hoofdklasse players doesn't become too big. But we actually promoted a couple weeks ago to the hoofdklasse with a couple guys. We said, let's just go for it. And it's a really fun game, to be honest. It's actually really good. And I think, again, the higher the level, the more complicated the game gets, because everybody is so good defensively that there's not a lot of really cool stuff happening. But I think it's, in theory, it's a really good game. It's really funny. It's really fun to play. So I like indoor hockey, to be honest. I think if you play it the right way, if you look at how the Germans can play it, it's fucking sick to look at. It's a spectacle. It goes really quick. It's easy to follow. It's not a lot of difficult rules. So you don't have a high ball, or you don't have stuff like that. It's just, yeah.
Simple.
It's simple, and I like
it. Well, speaking of which, I mean, if anyone's tuned in, again, I didn't watch a great deal myself, but the Indoor World Cups just happened in South Africa. Austria won for the men and Holland won for the women. Brendan, you're a bit of an indoor badger. Like, did you tune in? What did you think? My only opinion was that they seemed to push the content of the indoor more than they fucking did the outdoor, which pissed me off. But, I mean, other than that, it looked pretty cool.
I think it's sick. I thought the World Cup was really, really good. I also thought it was really cool that it was in South Africa. I think that's quite a cool thing. Like, obviously, like, if we're talking about the Hockey Fives thing, which we all think is... I think the Uzbekistan team is still traveling back to the country from the tournament they had in the summer.
Armenia is still on the bus.
Armenians, they're still on the bus, mate. It's taken them 2 months. They're still not back.
I've heard they've just crossed the German border.
For me, like, to host it in a hot country proves that you can... It's a sport that can be played anywhere. So if we're talking like a struggling format of, if we're saying the outdoor game is, I think the indoor game is so good for that. I think it's really cool that lesser nations are also really good at it. I think that's actually a really cool thing, and also adds to kind of the spice of the tournament.
Iran is pretty good. Austria is pretty good. I didn't get why Germany wasn't there.
My only guess was their club finals were like potential conflicts. And obviously after post-World Cup, like, there might've been quite a few things where players might have just wanted a break. I don't know. We can, in fact, I'll try and find out from that point of view.
How incredible is that, by the way? Like, what you just touched on is, like, Iran are really, really good at indoor. Like, Austria, obviously world champions now in the men's side. Like,
and European champions.
Yeah, like, just because you're a good outdoor player definitely doesn't mean you're good at indoor. And, like, surely there's so many skills that are so compatible. But still, it's pretty amazing to see that all these nations that just aren't known to be hockey nations can come out the woodwork and be really good at indoor. Because I'm pretty sure, like, I know for a fact, actually, that if I went and tried to play against anyone half decent at indoor, they would absolutely spank me. But, like, it's just such a cool thing to have, and such a nice format, that if actually they could work hand in hand, we'd have, like, a product that's pretty amazing, and that a lot of people could quite get on board with.
Yeah, but I do want to, because I've had this discussion once or twice, but I do think, because you said, yeah, I get spanked and whatever. I do think it's, if you have some talent for field hockey and you like really dive into indoor hockey, It's still a hockey stick. It's still a ball. It shouldn't be that much of a difference. I think, Phil, you're selling yourself a bit short. You are like, you're not as skillful as me, but you're like pretty skillful. You can dribble the ball pretty okay. You should manage to deal in the
well,
hockey.
I was just going from my past history at indoor, which is like the last time I played was 2014. I played Division 2 North. We actually also had a hilarious game against Wakefield, who aren't the nicest hockey team, where they got so angry with the umpires, they played a whole, they went on strike for with their voices. So they played a whole game without shouting because they wanted to like stick it to the umpires. So they just tapped their sticks on the ground when they wanted to be passed to. It was the most incredible thing I've ever witnessed.
The best part about that was the fact that they got so pissed off that eventually one of them just shouted "fuck" at the top of their voice.
I've played with Thomas Biels indoor, and he's also not to say it nicely, he's not known for his indoor skills. And we had to drive all the way to like and for like Holland, it's pretty far. We had to go to Heerenveen, which is like all the way up north. And so he was in the car for like 2.5 hours. Then he came there, didn't know really what to do. He got a ball and he tried to like chop it over a stick a couple of times. And then like after a couple of times, we said, "Toma, indoor, you cannot lift." And he was like, "Oh, well that figures." So that was like my experience with Toma Brio. So I think you do have to like get into it a little bit in the indoor hockey. But I think
saying to the Olympic champion, world champion, European champion, captain, "Sorry, mate, just to let you know, there's no dinking in this in outdoor."
Yeah.
I think for me, like going back onto the topic, like the year that I had in Germany, the 6 months that I, or the 4 months that I played indoor in, I was playing second team and it was like, it was genuinely some of the most fun that I've had indoor because it was like a proper league, 30-minute halves, like, you only play one game a week, which is like, or one game a day rather than what we do in the UK where we play 2 20-minute games and it's over before you know it. Like 2 weekends in a year. Like for me, like just a bit spread out and taken just a little bit more seriously. But then again, it costs so much money for us to be able to do that in the UK. Whereas German clubs obviously have their own halls, which makes a massive difference on that front. But it is like to witness it is so different when you go and witness it abroad and then come back to ours. You realize how poor it is in the UK that we don't really do it properly. I think we should either do it or not do it rather than do it half-assed at the moment, which is what we do. And I think the Super Sixes showed how good it can be. But unfortunately, it's so inconsistent that it's frustrating, I think.
Well, Hockey Focus, who we've already given some love to, and they've asked us a few questions, I think, on the back of your Instagram, Bren. They've got a question for you in a bit, Youp, as well. But they said they'd love to hear our thoughts on an indoor franchise league, like because players already hop around and make guest appearances, could make it a franchise. Players get bought at the start of an indoor season, and it culminates with the Super Sixes playoffs. Sounds really cool, but just again, like, where's the money coming from? Like, I'd absolutely love to see something like that. But who's pumping?
That's exactly my question on it. Is that point of where's the money? Because I agree, I think it'd be awesome. I think that should be the way that indoor goes, because I don't think it. I think it's a waste of time at the moment because no one can afford it. It can't really do anything.
It's probably slightly easier to like try and look for people to sponsor or find money for because it culminates in this Super Six at the Copper Box, where you know they do have a good crowd and it's a pretty exciting weekend. But anyway, yeah, I mean, Hockey Focus sounds like a really cool thing. But yeah, I don't know if we're the right people. But
you can fund it. That'd be great.
Youp's lost interest. He's probably going to go and clean his mic again, I think.
Yeah. I just think, I like, to be honest, I lose focus because they come up with this. I love your country, don't get me wrong. Maybe it's even my favorite country in the world next to Holland. But I just don't get sometimes the ideas people are plugging to us because they're so unfucking realistic. You guys cannot even organize like a solid outdoor competition, and now people are trying to get a franchise indoor competition. Like, don't get me wrong, I love you, I love the tees, I love everything. But first, fix your own fucking shit before you start fixing stuff that doesn't even, like, it's so out of reach. then I don't really get it. So that's why I lose a bit of interest. Like, I also want to win the lottery, but it's never going to happen. So I don't think, you know.
It's an excellent way to finish our first start of the break. We're going to be right back to talk. Fizz you up some questions, have some shit or hit, and probably a little bit more silliness. Like we said, Bren, sorry?
We're back.
Right, that was nice. as I've already said, Hockey Focus have been getting in touch. It's a good job, actually, we gave them some love, because I think our editor, Theo, I think is a part of Hockey Focus, so I'm glad we didn't bitch about it too much. Otherwise, he would be doing some terrible edits on our podcast. Anyway, they got info in touch again and asked you a specific question. So they wanted to know who lived up to the hype and who flopped at the Outdoor World Cup that was just gone. I guess we can probably turn this into individual players and maybe teams as well. But anyone spring to mind to start with?
Yeah, well, the easy one is, of course, is Vela. Like, I think he lived up to the hype. Or, like, it's not even a hype. I think I said it already in season three somewhere along the line, that I think he's the best or one of the best players right now on the hockey field. And I think this World Cup, for me, he was the best. I think who flopped, I don't know if flopped is like the correct word, but who kind of underwhelmed me a bit was Australia. I think for me, they were the favorites to win it. I rated them a bit higher than Belgium even. But they were like, for me, Australia always is like what they're always really tough to play against. You always have a feeling they have a guy more on the pitch, or that they're like really good and really tough to play against. But this tournament, I had a bit of feeling that they conceded goals really easily. If you see what they have in the back with like with Dawson, with Hayward, with Tim Howard, it's like a lot of quality in the back. But they conceded goals left, right, and center. So I don't really get what happened there, because I think their defensive structure and their defensive quality is what makes them stand out a little bit against the rest. So they kind of underwhelmed me, because also Matt Dawson, who I think is one of the best center backs in the world, like top three, and I don't think he had that good of a tournament. I think he was a bit sloppy, and he also played on left back, which I don't really get, because
I was just about to bring that up. It was we've talked him up, and actually, like, you know, being nice to Australians, like, he is a top player, but kept seeing him getting moved out to right and left half, which to me was just absolutely baffling when you have someone of his quality and you want to move them out of position. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I get, like, and I think for him it's pretty I can imagine it's pretty hard to play left back, then center back, then right. I can imagine that's not the easiest thing to do, but I think, as I said, I think if you're a top player, and he is, then you can expect a little more than he showed. Also, Argentina really let me down a little bit, to be honest. I think they're always like this, like a difficult team to play against. You saw them like draw Australia, but you already felt they were not really in the tournament, and you kind of felt it coming that South Korea was gonna get one away. Like, for entertainment purposes, I think they were the top team, because it was a shit show, but it was a fun shit show to watch.
It's an exciting shit show.
They were like, I didn't really like them.
Well, that and was, I want to give a shout. They always, sorry, just to jump on your point about Argentina, they kind of went away, like a little bit Australia as well. They went away from their, like, their DNA, which is like, we're really hard to play against. People really struggle to find any rhythm against us. You know, like, we're constantly going to, you know, play it slow pace game and then suddenly go 100 mile an hour. And they seem to go away from that and just became like quite standard. And again, like, when you're conceding, what was it? Something stupid like
you conceded in 10 in two games.
Yeah, 13 in four games, something stupid like that. You're starting to struggle a little bit, aren't you? If you want to be successful.
Yeah. But I do want to, because it's almost like, I do want to say, like, Thierry Brinkmann, he was. he was set out to be like the one who's going to like do it for Holland, and the one who's going to like make the difference. And I think he had a pretty like a lot like there was some pressure on his shoulders, but I think he delivered, to be honest. I think he scored 8 goals or 7 goals or whatever. He scored more goals than he played games, which is always a good sign. He scored 2 against Australia in a match in which I think the hardest match of the tournament is always when you play 3rd or 4th place, and I think they showed character at least, and I think he was one of the ones who took the team by his hand. So I think he did well.
Well, he's basically getting to that point of how good he is, where he's just like inevitable, and he gets to the point of like, if you give him half a chance in the D, then watching him, it's pretty crazy, because I've always found it quite confusing how he looks like just this skinny little dude who, you know, you could ask the question like, what's he actually got? Why is he so good? And it'd be really hard to maybe like explain to someone who's never seen him play. And then you just watch him and you're just like, any chance he's got, he's just like a sniper. He just always takes that shot and always hits the target. It's unbelievable.
It's a whole different discussion. I think maybe we should touch on another time. But he's always been small. He was never like physically gifted or anything. When he was in the under-14s, under-16s, under-18s, I played with him my whole career almost, and he's always been one of the smallest guys in the team. So it makes you learn different skills.
Yeah.
And I think what he learned younger on translated to the player he is now. He never loses the ball. Always he carries the ball so close, like he's pretty technical. He carries the ball so close to his feet, whereas when I run with the ball, it's almost like 20 yards in front of me, and he always runs next to his shoes, which is like really hard to tackle or take the ball away from him. So I think, but it's a different topic. Like, but the way he developed himself from like always being smaller, always having to find different things to beat an opponent because on physicality, he's not going to win it. Mm. I think that really helped his game. I do want to say one more team that's kind of underwhelmed, and not in a way that they didn't play well, but I think I expected more of a result is England, is your team. Because we've played against you, or the Holland played against you guys in Argentina. I've seen you play the group stage. I've seen the game against Germany. I was kind of rooting for England, to be honest. I really expected this to be the tournament that you guys could like really push through. You're always like on the verge of, like you were 4th in India in the World Cup. You lost the quarterfinal in Tokyo, and always you felt there was more left. And I think this tournament as well, I felt like if you could win, if you won the quarterfinal, no team wanted to face you guys because you guys were like hot, if you know what I mean. So again, you lost in shootouts, you were 2-0 up, and we know the whole story. But I think this was a tournament which I thought, oh, you guys could actually, you could fucking, you don't have to lose against any team. So that was like, You played a really good tournament. That's a stupid thing because you lost the quarterfinals. You played three and three quarters of a game perfectly, and then the one quarter fucked you guys up. So that's,
I think it's a pretty fair analysis. I think for us, it's a lot harder to take than getting spanked or like any of the times probably in the last how many years of playing where you kind of believe that you're good, but you how to word this right is like, we are at a point now where there was like genuine 100% belief that we don't even have to play that well and we can beat anyone. And I think that was the hardest thing to take, was that when we didn't get over the line. And the exciting thing now is like, we are the nearly men, and we have been the nearly men. But you have to punch on that ceiling to break through eventually. And I think you could compare it to, or I'm comparing it as biased as I am, to Belgium, in terms of like, they were the nearly men for however many years. People kept saying they're coming. Are they ever going to break through? And I fully believe that we can, and we are going to like punch through that ceiling and it's going to happen. Like, I haven't always believed that, but right now I 100% believe that.
I agree. I agree. I think, but the thing is, and that's, and again, it's different when you watch it on your couch at a TV or like from the sides, but I felt this World Cup was as open as it's been in years. Normally every tournament there was like a clear favorite. And I think beforehand, I also thought it's going to be between like a couple months before World Cup, I thought, yeah, it's going to be either Australia or Belgium, but both didn't, as good as they were, they didn't really impress me, or they weren't like, except for the first game where Australia really, really fucked up France. But like, it was really close. You felt like it was anyone's tournament to win. That's why also the Dutchies are like, they really felt they could win it, and they were really close. It's actually, if the shootouts fucked them up, and the same for you guys. But you felt it was anyone's tournament to win, and that's never like. In Tokyo, you felt it was either going to be Belgium or Australia. It was clear from the beginning. World Cup in 2018, you felt it was going to be Belgium, Holland, or Australia to win it. There was not really... So it was now anyone's turn to take.
It's also an exciting time because I don't think that's going to change in the next couple of years. I think there's Belgium, unfortunately, very fortunately, actually, fuck them. They're on their way down. People have caught them. I think they hit their peak and they were unbelievable, but now they're definitely on the come down. And then you've also got, you know, people catching and making strides on other teams. Brent, on the hockey focuses question, did you have any chime-ins on hype and flop?
Because I want to add one more thing, because you forgot to mention, and both England and Holland left their best player out. So they're also still, they can make steps. Like, it's no debate that both Brendan and me are like clear most valuable players to our team, and both coaches kind of shit the bed by not taking us. So
you missed the blonde lanky men were missed 100%.
Yeah. For entertainment and hockey purposes.
I haven't really got much to add, to be honest. I think Oops hit the nail on the head. I think for majority, the only one was India. I mean, we all know, like, at the end of the day, they should be in that bracket quite high up, and I mean, to lose in the crossover is pretty underwhelming for them. I actually thought there was like one team I thought they would be better was Spain. It was quite interesting. I thought they were quite like, they had a decent crossover, and I think they got lucky with a decent crossover. And even then they nearly fucked it themselves as well. Like, I think there's like, for me, like, teams should be getting through that crossover phase quite easily if you're a higher rank. I think it's the tournament set up that the crossover team, the second place team, should get through, and the way the tournament's set up. So I think if you're not getting through on that, you probably need to ask quite a few questions of yourselves. So like India and Argentina, I think just both of them properly bombed out at that point. I think that says a lot about where they're at as groups. And as you say, like, going away from DNA, it's probably both of them probably have gone away from their DNA quite a bit. And I think, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing for India. I think they're definitely still a team that are getting better. But for Argentina, I think that is quite odd. But that's other than that, I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Well done, Hockey Focus. Keep sending us in our stuff. Now, an exciting time. We are passing over the baton to Joop de Mol for Shit or Hit, the return of... We did, Joop, sorry, before you celebrate too much, someone, Megan Hayne, did write in with a shit or hit. Do you want that now or do you want that at the end?
I don't want it at all.
Okay, fair. Sorry, Megan.
Oh, no, do it now. Well, I've done some preparation, which always is like an exciting time for me, because I never do.
But, so he just, well, as normal, no, you just want some love for doing a small amount of work.
Come on, Phil, ask the question.
Yeah.
Wearing other nations kit or club kit or other club kit for training.
That's a good one.
I'll go. Other nations kit, big fan. Not a problem there. I think that's acceptable. Other club kit is a debatable one. I'm gonna go with that's shit. And I do it once or I do it a bit, and I think that's shit. Whereas other nations kit, hit. Your own nations kit, shit.
First, Brendan, nail on the head. Megan, thank you. It was actually good. I like it.
So is that it? Do we not? Do you not chime in, or I'm not chiming in on that? You just want to do your own, don't you? There you go, Megan. No, Brendan answered.
You've just agreed with exactly what I've just said, yeah, Phil. Phil, what's your problem?
Yeah, fuck you, Phil. What's your problem? But again, I think Brendan put the nail on the head on the coffin.
Can I add one thing, though? Because when Brendan turns up in an other nation's beta, I don't think that's acceptable, and I think that's shit.
It depends on the circumstance. If you're going to the gym and you wear like an Argentina shirt or whatever because it's cool, I think it's acceptable. But if you come to like a training session with your club while you're an English international, and then you wear another, I don't think that's acceptable.
No, that's completely acceptable.
Okay, I don't think so. If I would, it's also if, you know, it's also the case. If I come to training in a Belgium kit, I think I would get annihilated. I think I would get fucked up because that's like not on. But if I wear English one, I think it would be okay because then no, I'm almost half English right now.
Yeah,
the only kits I wear are ones that aren't in Europe. I think that's acceptable.
You know, yeah. I always wear my Dutch uniform to training at the Wijngaard. You know? Like full kit.
I think that's the only bit I'm really against is if you wear your own nation's kit to club training. I think like I really hold a lot of judgment for that.
Yeah, I think it's tragic.
That's the biggest pile of dog shit there is. Well done, Megan. We got Brendan kind of on the fence. Okay, I have some shit or hits.
Yeah.
First one is the warm up. You can take it as wide as you want. But I just think in every sense of it, like every aspect of it, of the warm-up, is shit. I fucking hate warm-up. 15 to 30 minutes of your life, you'll never get back. I know Matthew Alves listens. He always does the warm-up. It's nothing personal, Matt, but I fucking hate it. Shit.
Yeah, I'm going with shit, but like I've got a specific about how the shit. I don't like doing 8 practice sprints before getting on the stick and ball. You know when the warm-up coach is like, okay, now we're going to do a 5 yard and back, and then we're going to do a 20 meter, and then we're going to do another 20 meter, and then we're going to do a weave run, and then we're going to do a 5 out 10 app. And I'm like, why? Like, why? I need one short sprint and one long sprint. And I'm done. Get me with my shin pads and get me with a stick and ball.
Yeah, and they always say, yeah, you have to go through your first exhaustion, or I don't know how you say it. Like you have to be exhausted in the warm-up already once so you know how it feels. I'm like, I want to save every bit of energy I have in my body for the game. I think it's fucking stupid if you go all in the warm-up and then you're fucked at the beginning of the game.
I'm very much with you guys. I like a relaxed warm-up. So I'm very much, I like warm-ups, but I like them to be at my own pace, not at other people's pace.
Yeah, so it's so undebatably shit. Yeah, it's undebatably shit, the warm-up. Skip it. Second one is TikTok. Shit or
shit. 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 Too old. I'm too old for that. It's shit.
Phil looks like the guy who's doing the dances with Nicole in the mirror.
No, I unfortunately I don't have TikTok. I just also feel like I'm too old for it. So you just don't want to dabble with something.
Do you know what the most annoying thing is? Is when people who have it send you TikToks, even though you don't have it. So you get put on Safari, and it's an absolute shambles. I just don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, but then take it a bit wider. I do like reels, but
big fan.
I can get lost in them.
Do you know what the best one was? Vines. They were the best.
Yeah.
It was the best. That was the pinnacle.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were all also like incredible.
Aren't they all the same thing?
Yeah. They're kind of the same thing. But like, sorry, Brendan. Vines are different. Yeah. Relax. But like, reels, my algorithm is now so trained and I only get like great golf content. And like stupid shit, like a bit of English humor. Like I got the guy who's like licking the spatula, or like I don't know what it's called. The it's like tasting the stuff, you know what I mean? It's like an English one. I'll send it to you. It's the guy, you know, who's like mixing chocolate or whatever, and he puts the whole thing in his mouth.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you mean.
Yeah. It's fucking hilarious.
My algorithm is absolutely appalling, and that is all I'm going to give you on that.
Sorry, this is a bit of a change up, but I also like, I now have like a couple of friends on WhatsApp, and this is nothing to do with what you just said, but we only communicate in GIFs now. So you can't actually have a texting conversation. You just, and you're a big one, Bren, you're a big one. But it's just like when someone sends a really like full on message or something, replying with a GIF is like the most satisfying thing.
It's the old K response, the old single K response.
Because that comes to my next one, but I just thought of it. The thumb emoji. I fucking hate the thumb emoji. If people send me a thumb emoji, I fucking hate it.
I like the thumb.
Why, it's just the thumbs up.
Yeah, but I don't like it. It's like I've read it. I don't really care. Here's a thumb.
Yeah, it's like a sarcastic, isn't it? It's like a, well done, mate.
Yeah.
No, it's a, I'll get on and do it. It's normally a, I'll get on and do it. Normal response for me. Thumb. That's it. Yeah. I'm not going to smile about it, but I'll do it for you.
I think it's a slightly formal thing, like if you're texting a coach or something and they say,
get your GPS in or something.
You just a straight thumbs up.
One of them.
Hey, coach, I'm not there to light at practice. I feel a little ill. So, no, I feel better. So,
yeah.
Okay, next one. Brands trying to create their own shoe. So I know like Grace is starting their own shoe line. I know Indian Maharaja started their own shoe line. Osaka has their own shoe line. It's like stick brands getting in the shoe business. And they all come with the same shitty slogan or the same shit. Yeah, we've been trying to create this for 4 years and we only want to put it on the market when it's really good. Well, my opinion is it's still shit.
So you've brought this up just so you can say it's shit. Not really a shit or hit, is it? Because we're not going to agree with this. As in, we're all going to say it's shit because it is shit, because it's a waste of time and money.
Well, I thought one of you guys would bring up like the... I think Grace, actually, they put this shoe Wallace is wearing is actually kind of slick.
In all fairness, it looks all right.
Mizuno have just thrown money at it. Let's face it, Mizuno have taken over where Adidas have struggled, because Adidas aren't really like making any new shoes as such, are they? They're using the same designs, just different colors each year, so people buy them. Whereas Mizuno have actually chucked some money at it.
I think you have to apparently chuck a lot of money at it to make a really good shoe.
Serious amount of money. Yeah, and... but if you look at like all the other companies, it's just a bit of a waste of time. Gray's the only ones, to be fair, that actually seem like they're doing okay. Osaka brought out a shoe. Is that any good?
Yeah, but Yoop's point is actually bang on, where they're like, oh, it's like 7 years of innovation. Yeah, but it's like, what you're saying is it's like 7 years of terrible shoes, and then you finally came up with an all right pair. So
stumbled with
like,
an okay
like, do you want us to all congratulate you? Like, well done, you finally made a nice, like a half decent pair of shoes that one person.
Congratulations for wasting 7 years of your life on trying to create a shit shoe.
Do you think? I think if someone brought back the Adidas Zip shoe, do you think people would then be like, as in like a company just came and took
like
it?
Like warm biscuits over the counter.
What's that even mean?
Is it not a saying? It's not a Dutch saying.
No, sorry. I like it. Like warm biscuits over the counter.
Why are the biscuits warm?
Yeah,
I do like a warm biscuit, Phil. I have to admit, I'm warm.
I like warm broodjes, like warm sandwiches, but like not sandwiches. It's like different. It's like the things you hate.
You've come up with your own English saying, and I love it. It's like warm biscuits over the counter.
The counter. I like it.
Make any sense, but it kind of works.
No, it does make sense. That means brilliant, Phil. That's what it means. Brilliant.
Oh,
okay, so we do the last one.
Yeah.
Add some more.
Have we already gone through six?
No, but the conversation is flowing. I'm just throwing at you. You're throwing it back. It's like getting there. Okay, the next one is same place in the lineup. So you know the I'm going to reveal what I think, because I cannot keep it in front. But you know those guys who always want to be the last one of the lineup. Yeah.
Shit.
Okay, what do you think? Is that shit or hit?
It's shit.
Yeah. shit.
Yeah, it's shit. Sometimes you have to go to the toilet and you end up in the back. Sometimes you're already ready before everyone else, so you're in the front. I don't give a shit. But like, you have these guys who always want to be in the back, or like always want to be there. If playing a game depends on where you are in the lineup, you seriously have to question your own mentality. Because if you're not able to play a decent game of hockey because you were not the last one in the lineup, you're fucking mental shit.
To be honest with you, right, I'm just saying what I think right now. And I think people don't go there for superstition. They go there to like stand out. It's that you're the last person on the lineup. I don't think it's a superstition thing. I think it's like you're stood at the back. You look where the captain is, and then you naturally, like, 18 players just blend into one another, and then you look who's at the other end. Like, that's how I see it.
Yeah, that's probably true. Because I think superstition as a whole is bullshit.
Well, it is.
I have to put on my left guard before my right. I don't believe in that. If playing a good hockey game depends on what you do before a hockey game, it's your shit.
What do you think because I've been in this boat for a small amount of time, but not anymore. Is it like standing next to the same people? Is that a superstition, or is it just something you like to do?
I like to do it. That's not a superstition for me, but I like to do it.
Yeah. I don't mind standing next to the same person. Like, I think I know, for instance, Tijmen Reijnga, who is like 3 feet tall, doesn't want to stand next to me or Floris Wood. Because he seems even smaller. Those reasons I get, but like standing somewhere because you have to stand somewhere, I'm not
make a game out of that. You, because the next time you play with him, you should just
keep following around
following around and stand next to him, and then like lean on his head with your shoulder, with your like elbow.
That'd be tough.
Right, UP, are you done?
I'm never done.
Okay, top work. Well but done, you. I think great shit'll hit. It's back.
Cheers.
I think. Lastly, we missed out. I just missed out that, you know, Chris Brown, one of our exec producers, sent. I don't know if it's a sarcastic message, but he said very well done to Brendan last week, and I feel like me and Oops would say well done to Brendan last week because he got off the fence, he chimed in, he bitched hard, and that's what we're all about here at Let's Stick Together. So. You know, you're making up for that terrible haircut, and you know you. We did poke the bear, and he roared. So well done.
Don't be so abusive towards my Claire Balding haircut. Thank you.
Oh,
but that has been Let's Stick Together, episode 2, brought to you by Y1. It's been lovely chatting, guys, and hope you all have a great week out there.
And again, please let people like send in stuff about shit or hits or over it, because I actually like the stuff everybody sends in.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot of stuff that we don't know a great deal about this week. We've talked indoor and stuff. So if you've got good, or actually the frozen pictures, if you've got reasons why people do that, please let us know. That'd be cool.
It's too much hockey shit, this, isn't it? We need to talk more like rogue stuff.
Right,
more
well,
weird
you can,
things.
You can have a segment next week called Brendan's Weird Shit.
Yeah. Okay. I will see if I can find something for that then.
Yeah. Okay. Get off the fence and start some rogue shit, Brendan.
Yeah.
Like warm biscuits over the counter.